Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
in... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome. The Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy Monday to everybody. It's just shining beautifully outside. Day started a little cool, but boy, it sure is nice. I just can't wait for spring. It's going to be wonderful. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com. Great conservative website, one we go to every day. Hey, I want to also say, if you don't, go ahead and go to our ChuckandJulie.com website, and would love to have you go ahead and sign up for our newsletter. I'm sending out a newsletter once at the max, twice a week, so we're not going to spam you, but we kind of show some of our best shows, some of the best portions of our show, and then also we call it Chuck's Picks, some of the stories and articles that he thinks everybody should take a look at. Today, we're hoping to get a call in.
We're also brought to you by Julie McCallum and Synergenics, who keeps me alive.
That's right.
I'll keep you alive.
That's right. Keep you alive longer. We're hoping to get Representative Stephanie Luck to call in. You might remember on Friday, we had her on very briefly with Representative Dave Williams to talk about some election integrity bills they're proposing in the state legislature. However, I was just reading that they're in the... they're in the middle of the debate on the gun storage bills in Colorado, incrementally taking away Second Amendment rights here in Colorado.
Not so incrementally.
Yeah, not so incrementally. That's been going on for a while. It's expected to take a while. So I don't know. I think the sad news is, Sandra saying, speaking of luck, the sad news is, as we pointed out, the bills have been assigned to the Kill Committee. That's a committee, basically, that whoever is in control of the legislature, in this case, the Democrats, they have a certain committee. Usually it's a House Affairs Committee, right?
Military, State Affairs.
Right, stuff like
slightly
that.
Slightly different in the Senate. In the House.
Right, and they send it there because it's controlled by more members of the Democrat Party than the Republican Party.
Well, it's not so much that, because that's going to be true of all committees. What it is these people have sworn
to kill. That's true. Okay.
That they will do what leadership wants on the bills. And so you can argue till you're blue in the face. If leadership on the Democratic Party has said, I don't want to see this bill on the floor, it won't come to the floor.
Right. And Paul has said, me either, by the way. So we're hoping to hear from her if she gets a chance to pop out of the meeting.
Well, in fact, we've got Stephanie with us right now on line one. Stephanie,
oh, there
great.
We go. I got you to put my glasses on. Hey, Stephanie, thank you for popping out. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys so much for having me. I apologize. I was doing preparations on this safe storage bill and some amendments and things and completely lost track of time. I apologize.
No worries.
I was just eavesdropping on your conversation, though. You're absolutely right. These three bills have been assigned to the Kill Committee. That being said, I don't want your listeners to be discouraged and think, well, it's pointless for me to come and testify, because the reality is that we need to have a strong showing. It actually gives them a greater amount of difficulty when there's so many people speaking in favor of these things for them to ignore all of that testimony. When nobody shows up, it's so much easier for them to simply say, you know, the people aren't behind this. There's too many people opposing it, and so therefore they have cover in that instance.
Right.
So if your listeners have the ability to give testimony, whether written or remote or ideally in person, please, please, please do that. However, that being said, with the safe storage debate, we were supposed to be in committee starting at 3. We were supposed to start hearing these bills at 3 o'clock. We are still debating the safe storage with many amendments yet to be introduced.
Wow.
So I don't know exactly whether we will be talking about those bills today. And if so, it will probably be later this evening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will likely be rescheduled for another day. So that is
well, why don't you explain what the Democrats...
the legislature.
Why don't you describe what this bill would do?
Yeah, explain, yeah.
Okay, so there are three bills that are on the topic of elections. The first one that is up for hearing is actually the bill that I introduced, and it is simply trying to implement the will of the people as conveyed in the 2020 November election when we said we wanted every voter to be a citizen. And so I am a strong believer in the separation of powers, and I don't think that we should be abdicating the legislative authority over to the executive branch for rulemaking. So I tried to put forth a process by which we could ensure that all of our voters, both those currently on the rolls and those to come, are indeed citizens of the United States. So it's a very simple bill in that regard. Obviously, there's complexity to it. It's a long bill because it does develop the process. But in essence, I'm just trying to ensure that the voters' desire to ensure that everybody is a citizen is upheld.
We know the voters support that because they voted for it, right? I mean, it was we passed it, so we know that there's strong support for it. Only a Democrat would say, "Hey, heck with those stupid voters. We know what's best." Okay, so that's bill number one. What about the other ones?
So bill number two of the three is on an audit. So basically, it would require that the state auditor's office audit the voter rolls, 20% of the voter rolls every year, so that every 5 years, all of the voter rolls have been audited to ensure compliance with law. That way, we know for sure that the people who are receiving ballots or the people who are voting in our election actually have the right to vote.
Okay.
And then the third bill is being put forth by the second bill is Representative Andy Pico's bill. The third bill is Representative Dave Williams' bill. And it's my understanding that that bill would simply allow for people to ask for a hand recount. If there is an issue, you know, that people would be able to say we'd like this to be counted again and by hand, not by machine.
What's happening with and what does the gun bill that you're debating so strong on concerns?
So the proposal is to require everyone who has juveniles on the premises or who would have access to your home that in those instances you would have to lock and secure every one of your weapons. And if you fail to do so in that, then you can be brought up on criminal charges. So there are a lot of different dynamics with this bill. I mean, from the very beginning, basically every paragraph, there's some problematic aspect. And so we are trying to argue through it to say, this is just not good policy. It doesn't provide, well, first of all, it's a violation of the Constitution.
It's
a minor thing. but then beyond that there's a whole host of other due process and legal considerations that need to be addressed. And so we're trying to argue through each one of those.
Let me back you up to the election bills. How can people find out? You were saying we'd love to have as many people as possible come down and testify. How can people find out if it's been postponed and what, I mean, where can, I mean, I know that there's a legislative website, right? Is that the best way?
Yeah, I would say that is the best way to acquire notice of it, that the schedule should be updated as we proceed. That being said, being the new legislator, I am learning this, and this is the first time I've experienced a committee being delayed. So we are just getting text messages from our different committee chairs saying that committees are being delayed. I'm not entirely sure how that gets translated to the public, but I do believe that the website should provide that notice. I would think that would be only reasonable.
Right. They usually do. I mean, as I was a reporter, you can check on that and see. And also tell if folks are really that interested. I know that there are websites out there, Facebook pages. You can follow Twitter. I mean, you guys are doing a pretty good job. I'm sure Dave Williams would be happy to tweet, as would you, when, you know, come on down. This is the time we need you to be there if you find out, right? Would that be doable?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Let me just, a final question, because I know, do you got time for one more or do you got to go?
Yes.
Okay. Sir. One of the things I wanted, and we'll be talking about this a little bit more after we let you go on a national level. So I'm sure you saw over the weekend, not only then do we have the Congress members, the House passing outrageous HR1, we've got Joe Biden just willy-nilly signing executive orders violating the Constitution now. So to me, it makes it even more important that states have strong laws to at least do an attempt to fight back, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things I will say is that even in a state like Colorado, where perhaps we're going to follow more of a national model than a constitutional Republican model, would be the court system, the federal court system. You know, we have a terrific legacy from the last 4 years of solid originalist jurists being added to the federal courts. And so what isn't protected by legislation or by executive order can be challenged within that court system. And it is my hope and desire and belief that those jurists will indeed uphold the Constitution and the original intent of our founders and of our nation.
Unfortunately, the 10th Circuit is dominated by Democrats.
Chuck's not so optimistic, but you're right. Hey, and I think at least having laws, right? I mean, you can't give up. And as you said, if people don't show up, if people don't send messages, it makes it just that much easier. They can then turn around and say, see, it was bipartisan, and see, nobody even cared. And that's, I think, the tricky place we're in as Republicans in Colorado. It's easy to just say, you know, I'm just going to pay attention to Harry and Meghan's, you know, ongoing soap opera or something like that. But you guys need our help. It's like, help us help you, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, I will tell you that. Keep up the good fight, Stephanie.
Oh, go ahead. What?
Thank you.
All
I was
right,
just
going to
say, like I mentioned on Friday, the bill that I had introduced about providing local control, again, during times of emergency. The main argument against my bill was that there weren't enough people there to testify in support. And so while I didn't have any people opposing with testimony, the fact that there weren't outstanding numbers testifying in support is what was used to say that my bill was worthy of being killed. And so, yes, please, citizens, realize that we can put forth good ideas and we are happy to advocate, we're happy to fight the good fight, but we need people standing on the wall with us and giving their understanding and their rationales for why
Absolutely.
These things rise to the level of good governance and should indeed be implemented.
Absolutely.
All right. Stephanie, thank you. Then go back in there. I hope it doesn't
fight away.
I hope it doesn't get too boring, but good luck and thank you for fighting the fight.
Yes, it's thrilling, actually. I am built for this kind of thing, I think, which, you know, maybe makes me crazy. I'm not sure. But and thank you guys for doing what you're doing in terms of keeping people informed and engaged.
All right, thank you. There's Representative Stephanie Lett going back into the
lion's den.
Yeah, to fight there for that. You know, I want to talk then a little bit, a couple of other topics we're going to talk about today. We'll talk about the new COVID developments. Wyoming has lifted its mask mandate and is reopening on the CDC.
And don't worry, don't get sweaty, don't begin to panic. Yes, we'll discuss Meghan Markle and Prince Harry for the latter part of the show. So don't get too excited. Don't flood the lines. Or what about Meghan and Markle?
It's, you know, I would say just when you thought you couldn't hate them more, you do. But hey, open phone lines for the rest of the show. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, if you want to join on Zoom, the meeting number is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. You can also get there. If you go to chuckandjulie.com, that'll link you to everything. But on the national, so we've got the House Resolution 1, which passed. And I don't know if it's going to pass in the Senate, but a form of it, I'm sure will. I think they won't kill it altogether. Meanwhile, you know, Chuck, I was looking at this and you're more of sort of the constitutional scholar, obviously, than I am. But it looks like Joe Biden just kind of signed over the weekend. I guess it got him out of bed or something like that to sign it, or maybe stopped him, took a break from playing Mario Kart with his granddaughter to say, here, sign this. And he's like, okay. You know, it's to buy more game stuff.
You think he puts an independent constitutional litmus test standard to it as he, you know,
no, I mean,
if he can vaguely read it,
he
he
was signing the DoorDash order is what he thought. But it, in the meantime, though, it basically did pretty much everything, not quite as specific, but that the House resolution wants to
It
essentially gives the federal government control of what the Constitution says should be state duties, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. But see, you have to understand, one, Democrats do not like the Constitution, do not believe in the Constitution. That's over 100 years old since Woodrow Wilson thought it an annotated document at the time. And two, they hate democracy, and they'll rig any election they can. They go, this election is a gold standard run by the Democrats. You can't be that stupid.
Well, they will
lie, cheat, and steal because they don't believe it.
And I think it's important to explain, and we've done this before in our show, but by rigging, what we mean is
what we mean is two things. One is just illegal stuff. Like you can only collect 10 absentee ballots, and so you collect 20. Another one is what the Republicans did in North Carolina. You take those ones you think aren't for you, and you heave them. But there's a lot of other ways to cheat, and they will cheat. And in Denver, they're not going to cheat in El Paso County. They're not going to cheat in North. They will cheat in Denver anyway they possibly can. And then there are all the ones. Now, forget the literal cheating. What you can do, what's legal under the mail ballot is shocking. You can go in an old age home, get all those people to vote, get the manager to vote your way. That's not technically illegal.
Well, and they're changing those. You don't even have to do that anymore with what they're doing. I mean, when you look at this House resolution, it would just allow national mail balloting. It would eliminate any kind of voter identification requirements. Right. It would eliminate the need for you to be a citizen. It would eliminate the need for you to even be 18. They're registering 16 and 17-year-olds. Yep. If you've registered for anything in this country, be it welfare, be it your motor vehicle, any of that stuff, you're automatically put in the voter logs. Right. You automatically are going to be mailed a ballot. And it goes back to what Donald Trump said at CPAC. That means there are going to be millions of ballots just printed up, just sitting around, right? And so that's, I mean, I keep pushing back on us using the term, frankly, Chuck, and I know you don't like this, but rigging, because they've changed the rules. And the Republicans...
See, Republicans think they're just nice change rules.
No.
That they have to operate under the new system because they believe
in laws. The new system is there is no system. The new system is anything goes.
They get to cheat as much as they want.
Right.
And I've given this analogy before. If you've ever boxed and your opponent decides to you know, hit under the belt or scrape his laces against your ear or anything else. Now, you can stand back and look at the ref, and the ref will go look at it. But if it goes on, you can't just sit there. You've got to start hitting him under the belt.
You've got to play by the rules.
I mean, if they're not going to call him, then you got to not call him. And it's
you got to adopt not only that, you got to adopt their tactics. It's like, we're in an MMA cage fight, okay? We're not in some kind of
nice, polite, suburban,
right? Exactly. And so we have to realize that. And that's, again, my objection to the term rigging and cheating. It's like,
my objection is for the state party chair to say that Colorado's a gold standard, and I've watched them cheat their way.
The former state party chair, right?
No, well, he's still the party chair till March 27th.
Okay. But at any rate, the thing is, what everybody needs to be aware of, they are moving to eliminate basically all the rules. They are moving to make it,
they're attempting to destroy your democracy.
Exactly. And we want to play Lindsey Graham was kind of noting in the first month and a half of this, of the congressional, the new Congress and the new president, if we thought that they weren't going to push through an extreme agenda, man, you need to wake up. And that was basically Lindsey Graham's point is we need to wake up because they are pushing through radical stuff. And again, Lindsey Graham, I think, is somewhat of a swamp creature, so I'm not sure. But at least he's saying the right thing. So, Thomas, if we could play the Graham wake up soundbite because he talks about all of this.
In the Democratic controlled House in the last 30 days, you passed a COVID relief package, $1.9 trillion, very partisan. 90% of the money's got nothing to do with COVID. You've got HR1, which is open borders for voting. The federal government's going to take over the voting systems in this country. There'll be no checks and balance, no verification of who you are. Mail-in voting run rampant, so it's really open borders for voting. And finally, the Equality Act. That doesn't get enough attention. They passed a bill that does away with the distinction between being a man and woman in the law. Biological boys are going to start playing in girls' sports. And if you're a religious organization out there and your faith dictates that certain things happen, this bill takes that ability to say no away from you. It's a reshaping of America. This is a trilogy of radical policy, and I hope the American people are paying attention, because if you're not, you're going to wake up in a few years and your country will not be the nation you remember it being.
Well, and again, and not only, I'm glad to hear Lindsey Graham say that, because it's not just us that needs to wake up. It's them, the Republican leaders, that need to wake up. You know, you want to switch. So open phone lines, 888-627-6008. We've talked a lot about the election. Good news, I think. Want to switch to COVID for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Good news, I think, on COVID, although who believes, raise your hand if you believe the CDC. No, we don't believe the CDC. So today the CDC came out with new rules saying that if you have been vaccinated and you're in the room with someone else who has been vaccinated.
And they have their card with them.
And they're a registered Democrat. No, I'm kidding about that. But then you don't have to wear a mask.
Inside. But outdoors at all.
And you don't have to socially distance. Yeah, but if you're outside just wandering the streets because you might come
all
across.
All times.
Then you don't. They're not sure about travel.
You know, they came out a couple of weeks ago with a study that basically said wearing a mask doesn't do you much good.
Well, Fauci, a year ago at this time, Fauci was saying, why is everyone walking around in masks, right? Yeah. Then he came out, I mean, recently and said you have to wear two masks. I'm wondering how long it's going to take the Biden administration to say, wait, masks are a measure of control of the population. Well, this is how we're making slaves of everybody.
They figured
so quit
out.
Saying that you don't have to wear a mask. Now, I kind of think, bizarrely, and I think follow the money, giant pharmaceutical companies making tons of money, this is all part of a push to make us all get the vaccine, whether you want it or not, right? They're, as you said, how are they going to tell if you have the vaccine or don't have the vaccine? So I think we need to be very careful and very skeptical about this rather than say, yay, thank you, CDC. Let's think about it. What has the CDC done for us since this whole thing started except ruin our lives, close us down, give us fake information, wrong information, changing their story every other day? I mean, seriously, how long do you think it'll be before Jennifer Saki or whatever I say her name gets up there and says, oh no, the CDC was, they didn't mean to say that. What they really meant to say was you have to wear a mask until 2023. I mean,
And I was listening to George Brockler, who was subbing for Peter, and he was saying, oh, I'm happy to wear my mask. And
although he has an editorial saying no masks and open the state up. I will say that his editorial.
Well, on radio, he was saying he's happy to wear the mask. So.
No, another state, Wyoming, opened up. Okay, no mask in Wyoming.
So no mask in Wyoming. I don't think they have them in Nebraska. Texas, no.
Florida, no.
No, I'm just talking the states that are around Colorado, and Texas is not technically, the panhandle's a few miles away from Colorado. New Mexico, yes, they have masks. Utah, who knows? But it's amazing. It's really South Dakota, no masks. And so it's really amazing that we have a state that's partially shut down for what?
Polis just extended the mask mandate.
Yeah,
so here's my question, Governor Polis. So does that mean, so the CDC, your overlords, have now said that if I'm vaccinated and Chuck is vaccinated, or when we're at a restaurant or we're inside, we can visit
not
children.
Not restaurant,
restaurants, but, well, yeah, and that's kind of weird anyway. But so the CDC says I don't have to wear a mask, but Governor Polis says I do have to wear a mask. So how are you going to, justify that? And I think he's not. Polis is just going to say everyone wear a mask. Why are we all still having to wear masks? The numbers.
Well, why are restaurants shut down? Why are gyms shut down? Why are businesses shut down? What, I've brought this up before, but in the old Roman Republic, a dictator would take over for 6 months, but an absolute maximum of a year. And now we have a dictator here who's taken over for more than a year. And there doesn't seem to be enough pushback to me. There doesn't seem enough people screaming that this is just stupid. And not enough from people on the right saying this is just plain stupid.
Right. And I think we've talked about this before, but everybody started out being nice because you weren't sure what it was, but it quickly became apparent to me at any rate that this was not something that we needed to close down our entire economy. Our son is back in school for the second week, full week in a year. Okay. That was not necessary. We've got friends who have little kids in daycare. They're like, they're destroyed. They're terrified of adults. These babies have never seen an adult. Or most adults, they can't tell. Are they smiling? Are they laughing? All the social cues that you learn to pick up on. Our son has said that before. He can't tell. And it's kind of scary for him at school sometimes if his teacher is making a joke or not. So if his teacher says something, the kids were all kind of like, is that a joke? Or, I mean, it's atrocious what they're doing. Not necessary. And I think the rest of us anymore are being held hostage by two things, by the people who have bought into the panic porn.
Right.
But I think those people have other issues, frankly. I know I'm not a psychologist and people may beat up on me for saying that, but I think anyone who is still saying, who doesn't have an underlying serious medical condition or health condition, right? If you're just a regular person, if you can go get your hair cut and if you can go to Target, but you're saying, oh, I'm not going to a restaurant. Yeah, and you're 23, you know, you've got another reason, for wearing the mask. So quit making me be part of your whatever.
Sick culture.
Right, exactly. Then the other thing is, I think we also want to be careful. We don't want to be grateful. When Polis reopens the state, everyone's going to be like, thank you, Governor Polis. Sort of like Cuomo, right? What a joke that's turned out to be.
That's fun. Yeah, I enjoy that.
You know, he's like, he's killing people in the nursing homes.
Well, if you really look at it, you look at a lot of coverage, because now for the first time, the corporate media is covering it. It's clear that flirting while old is a capital sin.
If you're a white guy.
Only if you're a white guy. It's a sin. I mean, it's flirting
just
while
your life
flirting
and your
while killing the old people. It's not a problem. I mean, you know, there's no comparison to wokeness. I mean, okay, so 15,000 died because of his order. Not a problem. Now, however, he told somebody something flirtatious, and we're all supposed to go, oh, these are serious allegations, must be taken seriously, because some old single guy can't do that, can he? I mean, it's just such a joke.
It goes back to, although I confess, we are going to get a little salacious, we're going to talk about Harry and Meghan, so I realize we're being kind of hypocritical here, but Michael Tao, because I'm going to say Michael Tao on Friday got very impassioned, if you remember, saying, we need to quit listening to some of that stuff. We need to quit, you know, we need to use and be thinking, which we're doing here and you guys are doing, but using our brains. And again, with the COVID, you know, the numbers miraculously now that Joe Biden is president are coming down.
We all need comic relief. We all need comic relief. And if there's anything that Harry and Meghan typify as comic relief.
But, you know, here's the other thing, the Democrats, just a couple more points on the COVID thing. Again, the reason they're pushing this, one of the reasons they were pushing it so much, is they wanted to change the election laws forever. They're pushing it because they want to use it as basically a reason to fund everything, right? So if the CDC says we don't need to wear masks, because they're reaching herd immunity, why do we need a $1.9 trillion bailout, right? Why don't we just let everybody go back to work? We'll get to that in a second, but I see I've got Jacob from Denver, so we'll go to the phones first. Hey, Jacob, happy Monday.
Hi, you too. I have a question on the lady that was on last week. She's running for, I guess, the head of the Republican Party in Colorado.
Yes.
Now, will she be in charge of getting the candidates ready for the primaries in 2022?
Not really. That's up to the campaigns.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the chair doesn't do that. I mean, the chair does not get candidates ready.
Theoretically, depends on what you mean by ready. Theoretically, okay. If the Republican Party in Colorado had its act together, they could share data with whoever the candidates become, data, resources, et cetera,
right.
Which has been woefully lacking. Now, she indicated she would be more willing
to hands-on.
Okay, because the question I've got is, let's say they pick candidates for all the districts in the House of Representatives, and Mr. Trump comes by and says, I don't like that candidate, or I don't like this candidate. Are they going to go along with him and say, well, because he's going to have the money.
In general, and there have been exceptions to everything, it's not up to party chairs to choose primary candidates. It's their obligation to make it so that anybody who wants to run can run. And so if Donald Trump wants to come in and say these candidates stink and you ought to vote for those candidates, well, that's Donald's right. And if Liz Cheney wants to come down and says, no, we need Cheneyites, that's her right. But the chairman would just facilitate the right of everyone who wanted to run in a primary to run.
But here's, Jacob, where it gets tricky in Colorado. Many years ago, I think that was actually the practice. And Dick Wadhams, he was the chair of the party. People may remember when Dan Mays became the candidate. Dan Mays was not exactly the world's greatest candidate.
Yeah.
But I do remember Dick Wadhams saying he stayed out of it, right? What we have seen happen, at least I believe, Chuck, and you tell me if you disagree, where they start weighing in is beforehand, right? I mean, they squashed Tom Tancredo. They squashed George Brockler by basically controlling the donors, the establishments. And they, you know, they make it clear that if they don't like you, you aren't going to get any money. And so in my opinion, more recently, the Colorado Republican Party has been not being as objective and fair as it should be.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that because they haven't been effective enough to be unfair to.
Okay, one quick thing on Florida and New York. You know, last year they said as soon as the summer comes by, the virus is going to dissipate. All right, and it cut because of the warmth of the weather. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Florida has been a lot warmer than New York has. And I think that is why they've had a lot less COVID problems. It's just the weather itself.
You know, it's
just the inverse. For a lot of states, they didn't have much COVID, like Texas and Arizona. But once everybody started heading indoors because it was too hot out, their thing increased. So I think it all evens
out. You're right. Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. You know, and on the COVID thing, though, another thing the Democrat, I mean, when you look at this $1.9 trillion spending bill, what I was saying, they're giving $300 million to like the National Endowment for the Arts. They're doing all kinds of things with it they shouldn't. But this one, Lindsey Graham pointed this out. I was unaware of how they are also using this to reshape America. Essentially, they're using it to give reparations, right? Yeah. If we could, Thomas, play the Graham on the COVID bill. Listen to this.
If they get everything, they're going to run us over. This is out of control liberalism. And in this bill, as Kevin said, most of the money's not spent this year. 90% of it's got nothing to do with COVID. But let me give you an example of something that really bothers me. In this bill, if you're a farmer, your loan will be forgiven up to 120% of your loan, not 100%, but 120% of your loan if you're socially disadvantaged, if you're African American, some other minority. But if you're a white person, if you're a white woman, no forgiveness as reparations. What does that got to do with COVID? So if you're in the farming business right now, this bill forgives 120% of your loan based on your race. These people in the Congress today, the House and the Senate on the Democratic side, are out of control liberals. And God help us all if we don't check and balance them in 2022.
I mean, that's insanity. First of all, what does 120% of a loan mean?
They give you more money.
Yes. You get a loan. And then when you call them and say you're not going to pay you back, then they say, well, here's some more money then.
Yes.
You know, that seems like a good problem. Here's the thing. The Democrats, I think, watched in horror as President Trump had great jobs, made the economy good, and more African-Americans were voting for him than they had for other presidents. And they're like, man, we got to step up the just give people money thing. You'd think that'd be illegal.
Well, no, it's not illegal. That's what government does. Here's the problem, and it's been a problem from time immemorial. When we have these huge, the last stimulus bill.
Yeah.
What money went out to Republican support groups?
I didn't get
churches?
It.
No, yeah. None did. I mean, the money went out to military contractors, and that's same with budgets. Either Republican, and so the Republicans go, oh, well, you know, we don't do that. Well, if you don't do it, one side hands out all the money and the other doesn't. Either Republicans have to learn, okay, how do we give it out to charter schools? How do we give it to churches?
Yes.
How do we give it to everything else?
By the rules, the new rules.
Because it can't be. You know, for example, they had this thing where if they had a settlement with a corporation who paid $100 million, they would take some huge percentage of that and give it to La Raza.
Yeah, an organization that had nothing to do with the actual lawsuit. Yeah,
not zero.
Right.
And so, okay, and then when Trump came in, he stopped that practice. And when Biden came back in, he came. And it's called, in some ways, a socialist ratchet. We either have to start figuring out how, when we're in power, that we fund our groups, or you're lost.
Right.
You're lost.
Well,
you have to adopt, you know, sadly as it is, you have to adopt. And then maybe they're like, okay, if you stop doing it, we'll stop doing it. But it doesn't do any good to say, okay, we'll pour all the money out when we're in power, and you'll fight to the death to get us reelected, and when you're in power, nothing is just a loser.
Well, you know, and that's the, even looking at the farming thing. I mean, I grew up, at least I guess till I was about eight, on a farm. I don't think your average farmer out there anymore is just like a family, right? Like a guy. I think most farms anymore have corporations. I mean, they're big.
Well, they'd have a minority owned corporation.
Right. Well, then that's what I'm saying, right? So, I mean, so this is just another way also for them to funnel money to giant corporations, right? Yeah. I mean, and not just local corporations, you know, but some of these farm corporations are massive.
Julie, you have to, the Republicans have to do better about their messaging.
Yeah, no. The Republicans need to figure out how to play by the rules that, that we have allowed to be created. We need to quit whining about them. We need to quit saying, well, that's not fair. We need to quit saying that's cheating. And we need to realize those are the rules. And the Democrats, they don't care. I mean, how
ridiculous
is this?
Well, here are the rules to elections today. There are no rules.
Right.
That's the rule.
Exactly.
It's like love and war. And that's, you know, politics is a form of conflict without death. There are no rules anymore. They've taken the rules off. They've gotten rid of the rules. And in their key districts in places like, Atlanta, Philadelphia, you can just go
Detroit.
Through Detroit. All bets are off. They cheat, they lie, they steal, they shove in votes. And so, I mean, I don't know ultimately how you get away other than just getting away from Democrats saying, look, we can't exist in a democracy in which one side doesn't believe in any rules.
Well, you can, you know, again, the Democrats realize that nobody would, like you pointed out, no one would actually vote for their policies. So they have to make it so that they don't have to. It's like,
yeah,
we don't need to rely on those pesky voters. And we won't talk long about this, but you look at what's going on the border, and they don't care that they've created a crisis. So all the hooting and hollering and Trump putting people in cages, actually, though, they were the Obama.
Those are wonderfully fenced in areas.
I saw there was a story, and we need to get on this because I found this fascinating. The cartels now have so much control over the border crossings that people are actually wearing, like, you know, when you go to the hospital and they put like a little bracelet
give
on you.
Cartel wrist.
They give you a cartel wrist. With, it's digitized. It's digital. Oh. So all of the information, because the money, it costs so much now to cross the border that most people can't afford to pay it in one thing. So it's got your information, how much you've paid, how much you owe, who your contact information is in the United States.
I'm glad that they've developed 21st century business techniques.
Well, yeah, this is how bad it is at the, and they show all these pictures of people getting across the border once they've passed it, because the cartels were like, under Biden, they're opposed to it. They said, it's crazy, man. People are just crossing. There's absolutely no order. We can't keep track of who's paid and who hasn't. So they've got this digital thing going up. They've got like tens of thousands of minor children just coming over.
But Julie, that's what the people voted in a fair, safe election. They wanted this. Of course, everybody wanted this. They wanted billions to go to left-wing causes. They wanted our border opened up. They wanted all the rest but don't you dare question that election.
Well, follow the money. We've had Tom Tancredo on the show before, and you talk about the Democrats giving money. So who's making money off of this, right? Where are these children going? Where are all these people going? Who's providing them shelter? Who's providing them
Catholic
this and that?
Charities.
It's all kinds of non-government organizations are raking in the
billions,
bucks.
Billions.
They're raking. They might as well just join the cartel. They're probably the ones who came up with the bracelet
system. What's the difference between some Catholic charities
and the cartel?
The cartel's a little more modern in their tracking system.
So it's nothing to do with humanity and concern for humanity.
Oh,
it has everything to do with funneling their money.
Those Democrats are tolerant,
caring
people.
They could care less. Even some of the Democrats are complaining to Biden that it's a bad situation.
No.
He doesn't care. They just don't care.
He's not even up for lunch.
No, he's busy signing
bills. But he is going to give, apparently, a national address. I'm not sure. It's not really exactly State of the Union, but something on the anniversary of the first COVID case or something, and then also do a press conference in which a question will be taken from somebody drawn by a lottery or something.
From his press secretary.
Press secretary. Jen Psaki will ask
him the question. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, just unmute yourself and you can weigh in. Now to switch to, it's time to switch to the salacious stuff. And that is Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I hate those people. I just have to say that. I didn't used to hate him. Years ago, I actually,
I hate him.
He came to, for some reason, I forget why, he came to, not Lone Tree, Castle Pines. So no, I went there.
I thought he was at the, not the symphony, the
he was at something, yeah. He was at something at Castle Pines. I forget what. So we went to cover him. Well, we couldn't actually get anywhere near. We could park on the road. So I have no idea, you know, vans came and went. We had no idea if he was in them or not, but it was kind of interesting. Cause they sent me out to do what they call an MOS, man on the street interview about it. So usually when we would do those, we'd go to like the grocery store and say, hey, what do you think about Prince Harry being here? No one knew who he was. People are like, who, Prince Harry? And they're like, why is Prince Harry here? And I'm not clear on that. No one cared. But now people care. And now he's
reading. Now you're sorry you didn't care back then.
If you have been under a rock, so what happened is the millionaires, Harry and Meghan, were interviewed by billionaire Oprah Winfrey.
Who's looking worse every day.
Complained in her friend, what's-her-face's, million-dollar mansion about how awful things have been.
Oh, poor.
And
get this straight. It wasn't Princess so-and-so who was made to cry, but it was Meghan Markle. Kate made Meghan cry. That's
over
right.
That flower girl dresses.
Yeah, flower girl dresses. Yes. I was in tears. I was rolling on the ground.
Meghan's wedding.
She lived through that. She no. lived through that. What a modern day hero.
A lot of us have wedding conflict stories, but
that was so heartbreaking.
Give me a break. What did her wedding cost? Millions of dollars,
no,
right?
She got married
early. Which
earlier.
Taxpayers paid for, right?
She got married early.
No, that turned out to be a lie. She just said
that.
She didn't
get married early. And then her poor beloved little Archie the 25th. He wasn't designated a prince. Of course, he's not eligible to be a prince because
it's not Cinderella. Okay, yeah, it's not where the mouse comes out of the pumpkin and waves a wand, and now you're a princess.
Well, no. You know, it was. I mean, the tears of human sympathy.
But so here's
poor woman.
But in the meantime, though,
almost committed suicide. Do you know?
She was curled up in the castle. Let's go over this for a minute. And Harry says he was forced to strike out on his own when they quit paying him. It's like, well, they quit paying you
because you stopped working.
But in the meantime, they live in a $14.65 million mansion in California. They have a $140 million Netflix deal, $25 million Spotify deal, not to mention the money that he actually does have from his mother's inheritance.
Well, he said after he left England, he had to live on his mom's money.
Oh, so, $40 million of that. I mean, I take it.
Boy, Harry, that's tough.
Here's the thing.
That's tough, Harry. How'd you do it?
It's interesting, though, because I think the most bombshell of the bombshells is Meghan Markle and Harry. And they played this beautifully, guys. The royal family is racist. Meghan Markle said that the reason that they wouldn't let, or she implied that they wouldn't let Archie be a prince is because they weren't sure how dark he would be when he was born.
Right.
Now, they won't tell you who told that,
thus
guaranteeing it to be a story forever. The View said the queen should apologize for what?
Well, I think the View has a right. I think the queen needs to respect the View, doesn't she? I mean, she needs to
Can you see the Joyce by her on the phone? She says you need to. Meghan McCain says you need to apologize. But we have here Piers Morgan, who lives, I think, like really literally like down the street from Kensington Palace or some kind of palace there. He was on Fox this morning. If we could play, Thomas, please, the Piers Morgan sound on all of this.
I thought it was 2 hours of disingenuous, horrible, one-sided, self-serving, delusional claptrap.
What do you believe is false? I assume you didn't agree with it. Do you think is she telling the truth? Because we're not going to hear from the Queen, probably.
I believe Meghan Markle if she gave me a weather report. Honestly, I think it was the acting performance of her life. It was designed to portray her the ultimate victim. She even at one stage says that being imprisoned in a palace was somehow similar to what people are experiencing in the pandemic lockdown. Well, tell that to people living at the top of high-rise buildings with three kids trying to homeschool them with no job to pay for their food on the table. It was utterly ridiculous from start to finish. But Meghan Markle, I expect this from. I think she's played us in the UK and the royal family as a bunch of mugs. I think she'll emerge as a heroine to the liberal crowd in America today, with the narrative of being a poor, vulnerable, massively misunderstood, biracial victim of a white racist monarchy and royal family. But the inferences in this interview, the royal family is harboring racists, and in particular, the one of them may be the Queen, because Meghan Markle lies, frankly, there's no other word for it. She says that the baby, Archie, will not be a prince because they want to change the rules to stop him becoming a prince because of his skin color. It's an absolutely outrageous lie.
That's okay.
I want to hear more of that.
Because I know. He goes on and on. That was her truth.
Her truth. It's all about
it. It is, you know, the tone deafness of the woke is crazy.
They're tone deaf. They don't need to be. That's the point. They're free of that. They're free of that. But that, to who does Meghan Markle appeal to?
Well, Serena Williams says she
too. Oh, that's right. Another millionaire victim of racism.
It's just ridiculous. And you got to wonder, in the United, well, let me ask you this. I was going to say, in the United States, she is being played as a hero. Yeah, I mean, she, you know, you look at all the blog people, that. She's just a hero. I mean, she was a kind of a B-grade actress, right, until she met Harry. She says, I never even Googled him. I'm like, oh, please, right? You Google restaurants before you go into them. I'm pretty sure you're that dumb.
Yeah. Well, I believe it, Julie.
But how about I've been reading, like, the Daily Mail, which is a fun kind of website to go to because it's very – kind of anti-Trump, and it's kind of gossipy. But your sister is in London. How does this play in London?
Well, it's same anywhere else. You know, the far left sees her as a victim and everything else. But in general, she's viewed as repulsive. And so is Harry now. Harry, and the parallels between Harry and his great-great-uncle, the man who gave up the throne for the woman he loved, are really amazing. I mean, it's just both the Prince of Wales, Edward, who became Edward, was adored from the time he was born. He was feted, and he was young one, and he traveled the world. Harry's the same way, you know. Yeah. The orphan from the sainted Diana, and he received nothing but the most glowing and wonderful reports all the way through. And then in their 30s, both of them met an American who had already been divorced, who were physically very similar. They're both older than their male spouses. They have very dark hair. And in fact, if the part ever comes up, I'm sure Meghan Markle could play the Duchess of York. And he was just apparently sexually a sadomasochist, but certainly he was a henpecked husband. And Harry came across as the most sad, pathetic of henpecked husbands. I mean, they brought him on later. You know, they had to have the big interview with who they wanted.
Yeah, because she's the victim of racial discrimination in Great Britain and everywhere else, too, as she lives in a $14.65 million mansion after she lived in the castle, by the way. Well, here's the thing. So he gave up the throne. I'm not familiar with it. He was going to be king.
He was crowned, but he had to give up his crown in 1936.
To marry her. See, okay, here's what I would say. Love Chuck, but you know, speaking from a place of wisdom at this age, if you're like the king, I just don't give that up. I'm just saying that's just my advice to any young people out there.
There are lots of kings who had royal mistresses, which was pointed out.
Not very nice to say, but it's like, just don't quit being king because probably it's someday.
But Harry's gave up being prince.
How long do you think before they have some massive argument or something? Because she just seems so obnoxious and so awful.
Well, if it's a historic
parallel, at some point, he's going to be like, man, was that a wise choice on my part?
Well, if historical parallels match, the Duchess of York cheated on the Duchess of York.
Of course.
He did not. He remained totally loyal, and they died while still betrothed.
But they got to make a lot of money. I guess that would be the $140 million Netflix deal alone. That might be, I could say,
what
well,
are they doing for that Netflix
Nothing
deal?
So far. Or their
Netflix
Spotify podcast.
Netflix seems to throw out a lot of money at a lot of left-wing.
Well, you know, I wonder why that would be. I wonder if they're getting favors for it. This is from Mark. He says, I love Candace Owens' response to her. It was simply awesome. Meghan Markle playing the victimhood series. You should watch something else. I agree 100%. If you're truly a king, why not change the rules? That's a good point, Mark. Everyone else does. Well, you know, one of the things, too, besides just the sort of gossipy nature of it is, there is something, though, and you got to wonder. And Victor Davis Hanson had an interesting column in AM Greatness this morning about this. Have we reached sort of the pinnacle of the wokeness?
No, and is it going to
come?
No,
well, let me finish. And is it going to come down more common sense? He was looking at the Dr. Seuss thing and the fact that people were still buying Dr. Seuss. He was looking at the fact that it's impossible to wake up on any given day and know what might be canceled that day. If you might be canceled, what's okay, what's not okay.
And well, he compared it to the Salem witch trials of 1692, 1693, which eventually, after they burned, drowned, I guess they didn't burn them, they usually hung them or drowned them, you know, they finished enough of them, and somebody said, hey, I think that's such a great idea.
A little extreme.
A little extreme, yeah. Maybe we ought to slow down on that one. But I don't think this is ending anytime soon. I don't see it.
I would agree because
you just look at, you know, Flirting While Old by Andrew Cuomo. I mean, just the utter horror and all these, you know, people. And Andrew did it himself, you know. Right. I can't believe sexual harassment has been around for a long time.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, I didn't know it was me. Oh my God. I'm so sorry they took it the right way. I mean, the wrong way.
It is, but here's one of the reasons why I think it's not going to go away. I think it is part of the elite plan, and by the elites I mean what you might call them, the swamp. It's the Uniparty, it's the people, the increasing haves and have not, it's the big tech. I mean, the big tech, the media, the swamp, this whole god awful, you know, I guess I don't know what you would call it, but going together, right? That they have, and to me, it's not going on because this is what they want to do. They don't. Nancy Pelosi didn't care that people yelled at her for going in and getting her hair cut when other people couldn't. Mayor Hancock didn't care that he was blasted in the media for flying to Atlanta literally while tweeting to everybody not
all the
to
employees
travel.
Are the thing they're not
putting. Right.
Well, let's go. We got a call from Sherry in Lakewood, line. Too. Let's go to Sherry. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Just
We're
great.
Good.
I wanted to comment. Julie said, we woke. No, I don't think people quite want to wake up yet. But Oprah Winfrey hosted that show. And how many people are familiar with the faith healer that she promoted, John of God, in Brazil, that she promoted? He's a serial rapist who had actually been operating a massive child sex slave farm and a birth factory.
Yeah, but yet, Oprah liked him. Oprah liked him.
Yeah.
Apparently she did because she promoted him. And did
I'm sure
you
she
see
would.
The,
That'd be right down her alley. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the recent thing? General Tom McInnery from Two Mics actually interviewed him, but Lynn Wood, the document came out of his whistleblower. And it's terrific. It talks about the pedophilia of Joe Biden, Mike Pence, Judge Emmett Sullivan, and others. The role that Mrs. Biden and Mrs. Pence played in helping their husband's behavior. It talks about Rod Rosenstein played in commanding the FBI dirty tricks.
Right.
And, of course, we know with Lynn Woods, the Chief Justice Roberts, how... he was compromised, and they talk about the murder of Justice Scalia, and that's out. That is so good. And talk about racism. In that interview, if you guys can read that transcript, it's the transcript of whistleblower interview. They say that Emmett Sullivan offered his granddaughter, 4-year-old granddaughter, to Biden, but Biden doesn't like little black people. That's in... the transcript,
not,
and this is notarized.
I'm not so sure about
I'm
all that,
sure.
But no, but hey, Sherry, thank you for your call. You know, I don't know about all of that. I know that she's right. There
Look
was an interest. Oh, go ahead. Oh, okay. Thank you, Sherry, for calling in. She was right. There were new documents that came out talking about Rod Rosenstein and his degree of culpability, basically, in the whole Russia hoax kind of situation. Hey, we just got the sign. We only have a couple of minutes left. So thank you to everybody for calling in. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. On Wednesday, we're going to have John Conlon. He's a columnist on. He has an interesting column, and I disagree with it. I'm not going to say any more than that. We'll post it. I'll tweet it out beforehand, but it should be an interesting take. Basically, he's sort of saying it's not time to speed up, and I'm not sure what he means because I kind of think we
not
do need
to
speed up.
Nah.
Hey,
all right, so stay tuned for whatever that means. Cryptic from the
cue. That was cryptic. I'm sorry.
A little cue-like there.
That was my cue thing.
Your cue thing. Right. Get a little crumbs from Julie every once in a while.
Don't try to figure out what I mean. Chuck will tell you it's kind of a waste of time.
No, it really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but hey, chuckandjulie.com is a place to go. You can catch all of our shows there. There's even a cool app there. You can listen on your phone and just call in live. Would love to have you sign up for our newsletter. I'm also love to have you subscribe to us and like us on YouTube. We're trying to grow Parler too, so it's at Chuck and Julie on Parler. Meanwhile, thank you to everybody. Thank you to the great folks at BBS.
Thanks for all the callers, and thanks to Stephanie Luck for coming in. All right, everybody. We'll see you Wednesday.